ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 13. Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Text numbers 8 till 12. It's five verses, so I hope we have enough time. It's a lot of important words, so I think we should still chant them, even though it's like very long. There's a lot of nice words. So it's on page 647. Okay, I'll just start. I'll just read from the word for word. So please pay attention. Amanitvam adhambitvam ahimsa kshantihi arjavan acharya upasanam saucham Stairyam Atma Vinigraha Indriya Arteshu Vairagyam Anankara Eva Cha Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudharshanam Asaktihi Anabhishvangaha Putra Dhara Griya Adishu Nityam Cha Samachitattvam Ishta Anishta Upapatishu Mayi Cha Ananya Yogena Bhaktihi Avyabhicharini Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aratihi Janasangsadi Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam Tattvajnan Artha Darshanam Etat Jnanam Iti Proktam Ajnanam Yat Ataha Anyata Amanitvam Adambitvam Ahimsa Kshantir Arjavan Acharya Pashanang Sochang Steryam Adma Vinigraha Indriyarteshu Vairagyam Anahankara Evacha Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukkha dosha anudharshanam Asakti rana bishvanga Putra dhara griyadishu Nityam cha samachittattvam Ishtanisto papatishu Maichananya yogena Bhaktir avya bicharini Vivikta desha sevitvam Aratir jana samsadi Ajatma jnana nityatvam Tattva jnanartha darshanam Etat jnanam iti proktam Ajnanam yatatonyata Want to try it? Amanitvam adambitvam Ahimsa kshantir arjavan Acharya pasanang socham Staryam atma vinigraha Indrayarteshu vairagyam Anahankara evacha Janma mriju jaravyadi Dukkha doshanu darshanam Asaktirana bishvanga Putra dara griadishu Nityam cha samachittatvam Istani stopapatishu Mayi chananya yogena Bhakti ravya bicharini Vivikta desha sevitvam Aratir jana sangsadi Ajatma jnana nijatvam Tadvajnanartha darshanam Etat jnanam iti proktam Ajnanam yat atonyata Amanitvam adambitvam Ahimsa kshantir aryavam Acharya pasanam socham Theryam atma vinigraha Indriyarteshu vairagyam Anahankara evacha Janma mrityu jara vyadi Dukkha doshanu darshanam Putra dara kriyadishu Nityam cha samachittatvam Istani stopapatishu Mayi chananya yogena Bhakti ravya bicharini Vivikta desha sevitvam Aratir jana sangsari Ajatma jnana nijatvam Tattva jnanartha darshanam Etat jnana iti proktam Ajnanam yat atonyata
Okay. You want to try Gayatri? Okay. So we'll do the word for word.
Amanitvam humility. Adambitvam pridelessness. Ahimsa non-violence. Kshantihi tolerance. Arjavan simplicity. Acharya Upasanam, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Socham, cleanliness. Stayam, steadfastness. Atma Vinigraha, self-control. Indriya Arteshu, in the matter of the senses. Vairagyam, renunciation. Anahankara, being without false egoism. Eva, certainly. Cha, also. Janma, of birth. Mrityu, death. Jara, old age. Vyadi, and disease. Dukkha, of the distress. Dosha, the fault. Anudarshanam, observing. Asakti, being without attachment. Anabhishvangaha, being without association. Putra, for son. Dhara, wife. Griya Adishu, home, etc. Nityam, constant. Cha, also. Samachittattvam, equilibrium. Ishta, the desirable. Anishta, and undesirable. Upapatishu, having obtained. Mayi, unto me. Cha, also. Ananya yogena, by unalloyed devotional service. Bhaktihi, devotion. Avyabhicharini, without any break. Vivikta, to solitary. Desha, places. Sevitvam, aspiring. Aratihi, being without attachment. Jana sangsadi, to people in general. Adhyatma, pertaining to the self. Jnana, in knowledge. Nityatvam, constancy. Tattvajnan, of knowledge of the truth. Artha, for the object. Darshanam, philosophy. Etat, all this. Jnanam, knowledge. Iti, thus. Proktam, declared. Ajnanam, ignorance. Yat, that which. Ataha, from this. Anyata, other. Translation: humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. Purport. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements. And the process of knowledge as described here, is the means to get out of it. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avyabhicharini. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So if one does not approach or is not able to approach a transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes to devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yashyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvair Gunai Tatra Samasate Suraha. All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. Read it one more time. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not his body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently, sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. Nonviolence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body, but actually nonviolence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is nonviolence. I'll read that last one more. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is nonviolence. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. If one is engaged in the advancement of spiritual knowledge, there will be so many insults and much dishonor from others. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Even a boy like Prahlad, who only 5 years old was engaged in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, was endangered when his father became antagonistic to his devotion. The father tried to kill him in so many ways, but Prahlad tolerated him. So, there may be many impediments to make advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant and continue our progress with determination. Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential. Because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. Or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness means taking a bath. But for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. Steadiness means that one should be very determined to make progress in spiritual life. Without such determination, one cannot make tangible progress. And self-control means that one should not accept anything which is detrimental to the path of spiritual progress. One should become accustomed to this and reject anything which is against the path of spiritual progress. This is real renunciation. The senses are so strong that they are always anxious to have sense gratification. One should not cater to these demands, which are not necessary. The senses should only be gratified to keep the body fit so that one can discharge his duty in advancing in spiritual life. The most important and uncontrollable sense is the tongue. If one can control the tongue, then there is every possibility of controlling the other senses. The function of the tongue is to taste and to vibrate. Therefore, by systematic regulation, the tongue should always be engaged in tasting the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. As far as the eyes are concerned, they should not be allowed to see anything but the beautiful form of Krishna that will control the eyes. Similarly, the ears should be engaged in hearing about Krishna and the nose in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna. This is the process of devotional service, and it is understood here that Bhagavad Gita is simply expounding the science of devotional service. Devotional service is the main and sole objective. Unintelligent commentators on the Bhagavad Gita try to divert the mind of the reader to other subjects, but there is no other subject in Bhagavad Gita than devotional service. False ego means accepting this body as oneself. When one understands that he is not his body and his spirit soul, he comes to his real ego. Ego is there. False ego is condemned, but not real ego. In the Vedic literature, Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad 1.4.10, it is said, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am spirit. This I am, the sense of self, also exists in the liberated states of self-realization. The sense of I am is ego, but when the sense of I am is applied to this false body, it is false ego. When the sense of self is applied to reality, that is real ego. There are some philosophers who say we should give up our ego, but we cannot give up our ego, because ego means identity. We ought, of course, to give up the false identification with the body. One should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age and disease. There are descriptions in various Vedic literatures of birth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world of the unborn, the child's stay in the womb of the mother, its suffering, etc., are all very graphically described. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful, because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother. We do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings, and they are also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. These should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. No one wants to be diseased and no one wants to become old. But there is no avoiding these. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. As for detachment from children, wife and home, it is not meant that one should not have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy, because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna, have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjuna did. Arjuna did not want to kill his family members, but when he understood that these family members were impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life, because in this world one can never be fully happy or fully miserable. Happiness and distress are concomitant factors of material life. One should learn to tolerate as advised in Bhagavad Gita. One can never restrict the coming and going of happiness and distress, so one should be detached from the materialistic way of life and be automatically equipoised in both cases. Generally, when we catch something desirable, we are very happy, and when we get something undesirable, we are distressed. But if we are actually in the spiritual position, these things will not agitate us. To reach that stage, we have to practice unbreakable devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna without deviation means engaging oneself in the nine processes of devotional service: chanting, hearing, worshipping, offering respects, etc., as described in the last verse of the ninth chapter. That process should be followed. Naturally, when one is adapted to the spiritual way of life, he will not want to mix with the materialistic man. That would go against his grain. One may test himself by seeing how far he is inclined to live in a solitary place without unwanted association. Naturally, a devotee has no taste for unnecessary sporting or cinema going or enjoying some social function, because he understands that these are simply a waste of time. There are many research scholars and philosophers who study sex life or some other subject, but according to Bhagavad Gita, such research work and philosophical speculation have no value. That is more or less nonsensical. According to Bhagavad Gita, one should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here. As far as self-realization is concerned, it is clearly stated here that bhakti yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul. The individual soul and the super soul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception, the devotional conception of life. This service of the individual soul to the supreme soul is eternal, nityam, as it is clearly stated. So bhakti or devotional service is eternal. One should be established in that philosophical conviction. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, this is explained. Vananti tat tattva vidas tatvang yak jnanam advayam. Those who are actually knowers of the absolute truth know that the self is realized in three different faces as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the last word in the realization of the absolute truth. Therefore, one should reach up to that platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That is the perfection of knowledge. Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, this process is just like a staircase beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now on the staircase there are so many people who have reached the first floor, the second or the third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at a lower stage of knowledge. If anyone wants to compete with God and at the same time make advancement in spiritual knowledge, he will be frustrated. It is clearly stated that without humility, understanding is not truly possible. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, I am God, because of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitva, humility. One should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. Amanitvan adambitvam ahimsa kshantir aryavan achaya pashanang socham steyam adma vinagraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam asaktirana bishvanga putra dara griyadishu nityang cha samachittatvam Ishtanishtopapatishu Mayichananya Yogana Bhakti Ravya Bicharini Vivakta Adesha Sevitvam Aratir Jana Sangsidi Ajatma Jnana Nityatvam Tatva Jnanartha Darshanam Etats Jnanam Iti Proktam Ajnanam Yatta Tonyata.
Hare Krishna.
Just a few words. The first thing I want to say, that is five verses, but there is one sentence that you should at least take away from this verse, and that is Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. So dosha means fault, anudarshanam means seeing, like darshanam, darshan. And dukkha means fault, or dosha means fault, dukkha means suffering. So Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. You should see that Janma, Mrityu, birth and death, Jaravyadi, old age and disease, are Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. They are full of suffering, and that it's a, like a faulty thing. It's translated here as the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease. So that is very important piece of Sanskrit. It's quoted many times by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, actually, in the purport, he says two very interesting things. He says, first of all, he explains about Janma, about birth, that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it's in the either fourth or the sixth canto. Not sure, but it's very graphically described. I don't know. You read it? You didn't read it? It's described that the baby is in the womb and he's being bitten by so many worms and he's like kind of suffocating because he can't really breathe, and there's actually liquid in his lungs. I don't know exactly how it works. It's a very like a very profound machine, you know. Anyway, it's a big suffering. And then also Prabhupada speaks about death. So death should also be discussed, he said. That's also described, that the body becomes very hot, very cold, and is very painful. So that we should also discuss, Prabhupada says here. It's kind of in ISKCON we say heavy purport. Prabhupada also says in the beginning, as far as actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. And it all starts, Prabhupada says, with humility. So unless we are humble, Bhakti Chandra Swami also explains this, Like I have one friend, and he on his Skype he says always be thankful. So that's a sign of humility, that you're always thankful. Like if you become puffed up, you think like, why am I suffering? This is actually the reason why people became atheistic. After the Second World War, so many mothers, they prayed, please protect my son. Please God, don't let him die. And then they all died. So then they thought God doesn't exist because he didn't hear my prayers. So this is kind of puffed up, that we think that God is to save our son, that our son is so special and needs to be saved. We should always be very, very humble. We should think that, you know, like Prabhupada explains in the 10th canto, explained that, you know, this is just a little bit of suffering that Krishna is giving me. I should actually deserve much more. That's humility. And from that humility, automatically we become thankful, and this is the way how to approach the spiritual master. Otherwise, it's very difficult for the spiritual master to teach us. I explained it many times, any process, it won't work without humility. You go to university, you pay some money, you ask some question. You can't go and challenge the whole day and it will remove you. Just how it works. Sorry. I can't change it. It's a law. I think it's more or less mentioned. And it is very poetic. Prabhupada says, humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. So it means that one should not be afraid, one should not be very eager, that we want the satisfaction of being honored by others. We're like we're washing the pots and then we're anxious, oh, maybe nobody sees it. Maybe nobody sees I'm washing the pots. So we're like in anxiety. I hope somebody sees how humble I am. But real humility means that we're not anxious if somebody sees me or not. We don't care about it. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. From the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he's not his body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. And so Prabhupada says that usually the body is honored, and since we're not the body, the honor or dishonor are not important. Like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he once complained to Srila Prabhupada that the devotees are discriminating me because he was black. And then Prabhupada says, why are you identifying with your body? You're not black. So why would you be bothered people calling you black? You're not this body. And he said the same one time to a lady. She was also complaining that, you know, I'm a woman, I'm being discriminated, they're disrespecting me. And then Prabhupada says, you're not a woman. Why are you identifying with the body? You're not a woman. You're a devotee. So, of course, these things are a little bit difficult to hear, but we're discussing humility, and of course the perfect example of humility is Prahlad Maharaj. He was 5 years old, and you can't really, I mean, at least I can't really imagine it. 5 years old. How old is Ram? It's like three. Ram is three. So Ram is now three. So, you know, I think yeah, and then who's 5 years old here? Prashanna. So Prashanna is 5 years old. Just imagine, you know, 5-year-old girl or 5-year-old boy. And yeah, his father tries to, or her father tries to kill him or her. It's just tolerating everything. He's not getting angry, just praying to Krishna. I mean, Prabhupada says, because he's called the Mahajan. Sometimes Guru Padma, he says, Prahlad Maharaj, Mahajan, ki. He's one of the Mahajans. And Prabhupada says, from all the Mahajans, he's the best example. There's 11 Mahajans. Narada Muni is a Mahajan, Bhishma is a Mahajan, Sukadeva Goswami is a Mahajan, Brahma is a Mahajan, so many Mahajans, 11 in total. I don't know all of them. Yamaraj is a Mahajan. I think it's was it Ramachandra's father? I think he's also Mahajan. So like that. And we need to follow them. But from all of them, Prahlad Maharaj is the best example. So. And then, Yeah, so that was the first thing I wanted to. That is really important because, you know, maybe we should discuss a little bit more tomorrow. Then the second thing, that is what Prabhupada mentions. Well, there's actually two more things I want to say, or maybe a few more. But he spoke about devotional service. Let me see if I can find it. He says in the 11th verse, 8, 9, 10, 11. Bhaktir avyabhicharini, that without any break. This is also mentioned by Sukadeva Goswami or by Rupa Goswami, right? Anyabilasitu sunyam, jnana kamadinavritam. No, that is another verse. Anyway, there's this verse that it also says devotional service should be without any break. And sometimes Prabhupada also, he discusses that verse, he says devotional service cannot be broken. So it is not depending on anything material. So you can sometimes see it in two ways. So for the sadhaka, it should not be broken, it should be constant. And for the advanced devotee, then it actually cannot be broken. So that is the main... because we're talking about knowledge. And that is the most important thing for getting knowledge. Prabhupada says that, you know, if you follow that one, all the others, they will come automatically. As far it's on page 653 at the almost last paragraph. As far as self-realization is concerned, it's clearly stated here that bhakti yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul. No, that's not it. But that is also... It is talking about this bhakti yoga. Let me see if I can find it. Here it's in the beginning. Yeah, Prabhupada says here that it's in the beginning. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mayi chananya yogina bhaktir avyabhicharini. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes to the devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. So I don't want to take up any more of your time, since also the kirtaneers are here. Manu is fully agreeing with me, unfortunately. Or fortunately, maybe. Because that's what Prabhupada is saying here. We don't need to discuss this. We just need to chant Hare Krishna. And then all the other items will develop automatically. Thank you very much. We can discuss more tomorrow. Hare Krishna.